Here at Propulsion Swimming, we are massive fans of anyone who is moving the needle in the sport of swimming. And the AP Race London International is certainly an event that is doing that. Both myself and Dan attended last year's competition where some of the biggest international swimmers were on display. This year, the competition is going to be held between the 25th and 27th of May, again at the iconic London Aquatic Centre. Tickets start from just £1 and are on sale now at event.aprace.club. With golden tickets available for poolside seating where you will be metres from the action. And if you want to race in the competition, entries open on the 1st of March. If you want any more...
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, swimming is about racing, so it's just who can put in the best race on the day. Like, it's pretty brutal, you know, you have one race to perform, and if you don't, then... You know, that's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Dan. And we are back now, heading towards our build-up for British Championships, which are, I believe, just under 2 months away now, Dan. It's closing in fast.
I know, very much edge of seat time and looking forward to it. The swimmers are sort of in their hard cycle right now and probably looking forward to taper, to be honest with you. But yeah, very exciting times for us spectators.
Absolutely. Now, one event at British Champs that we have circled with a lot of interest, because there are names galore that can make the nomination time and beyond. The nomination time isn't going to be enough to make the Olympic team in the women's 200 meters IM. And on this week's podcast, we are speaking to a contender in that race, Leah Schlossen.
Yeah, I mean, we've got another great episode. We've got Leah on the podcast this week as we talk about her senior squad experience, what it's like to swim and train out of Leeds, of course, not a national centre, so she's having a gap year, very interesting. And of course, as usual, what her thoughts are like as we head into trials.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a left field journey that she's on a little bit right now. You would presume that a swimmer who's double European junior champion is going to be snapped up by these national centres, train under the likes of, well, Dave Hemmings is a fantastic women's IM coach, Steve Tigg up in Stirling. But actually, she's decided to stay at Leeds this year to finish the Olympic cycle with her coach. We go into whether that's the right decision. I would say, as a little bit of a tease, it certainly is. And yeah, just we talk through what it's been like for her breaking onto that senior stage, the transition from junior success, and again, yeah, previewing trials. So let's jump into this week's episode with Leah Schlossen. Yeah, thanks for joining us. You swim for a program that actually we as a podcast and our audience know, well, our audience might know a little bit about it, but we've never actually really spoken to anyone from Leeds before. So tell us a little bit more about the setup there. How does it work?
Yeah, so I've been swimming with Leeds since I started swimming when I was about six. So it's very much you work your way up through the scheme. So you start off and it's across loads of different pools in the country. It's funded by the council as well. So the council have quite a lot to do with the club. But yeah, so you start off in all different pools. And then the main pool that I train at is John Charles in South Leeds. And I've been swimming there since... I'd say probably like 14, no, earlier, like 10 when I, that's like my main hub now. And yeah, I'm with Richard Dennigan. He's my coach. I've been with him for about 4 years. I think this is my fourth year with him now. And then I've had four coaches in Leeds in total, I think. And there's about, I think there's five groups, and then, yeah, so you just make your way up through those groups. It's quite, there's not so many senior athletes at the moment, but there's me in my group and then three other people. It was a bit bigger last year, but everybody left to go to uni, I think, in America or just in the country as well. And then my main training partner, he's called Karosh, and he went to EOF last year. So I train with him, and then you've got the form guys, Charlie and Emma. So it's good that it's quite, it's a small group, so I get a lot of time with Richard. He can look at us in quite a lot of detail. He spends a lot of time with us. And then we've also got another coach called Phoebe. So we get a lot of time spent on us, just so that he can look at all the details of our swimming. But yeah, that's basically Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, you say there's not that many senior swimmers there, but when you get to that sort of age of, well, your age, 18, 19, a lot of those swimmers usually go start looking at national centres or universities. So why have you decided to stay at Leeds?
Well, I think there's no reason why senior swimmers can't stay at Leeds. Like, Leeds is a perfect place to swim for senior athletes. And Richard, my coach, like, he works really well with senior athletes. He's had a good reputation of bringing swimmers up. I decided to stay at Leeds for this year, definitely, just because it's Olympic year. And it's been quite different for me, because obviously I've not had to go to school this year. So, and my school's quite far from swimming. It's about an hour away. And then I live about half an hour away from swimming. So my school's also far from where I live. But I think I just thought there's no point in me moving to a national centre at the end of the Olympic cycle. Like, I know Leeds well. I got on really well with Richard. I trust his training and I trust him. So there was no reason for me to really leave at that point. There's no rush either for me to go to uni. So I just thought, this is what I know. I think I'd have the best chance at Olympic trials if I stayed at Leeds. So yeah, I just stuck with that decision.
It's understandable given like the performances have always been there, because I think you have back-to-back European junior titles in the 2AM. So like, I presume the offers have been there from British Swimming to say, do you want to come to these national centres? But at the same time, I presume they still stay in contact with you when you're at Leeds. You still get the same support as any like funded swimmer would get.
Yeah. Yeah, no, British Swimming, I think they fully support me being at Leeds. Especially, I'll look at like the national centres for the future. But I think I've always decided that I was going to stay at Leeds for this year. Well, especially when I got my European junior title the first time round. That was kind of when I was like, oh, you know, I'm getting a bit better at swimming now. And then last season...
just a bit.
No, but it was like quite big for me, because I hadn't really had like a big achievement. Yeah. I mean, I know I went to European juniors before, but I only got into the semi that year. So it was quite, not a shock, I'd say, but in a way. I think I knew I was capable of doing it, but I... You know, it doesn't become real until, you know, you actually do it. But
that's interesting, because actually a lot of people will see getting selected to European juniors as the, like, the achievement. But that was never the achievement for you. You always need the accomplishment on top of the selection, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I suppose, no, it was my first time around when I got selected. I think, what is it, 2020... one or 2020, I can't even remember. 2021, yeah. That was for Rome. I was kind of expecting to be selected, but at the same time, when I did get selected, I was so happy. And there's always, you know, a bit of shock. I think it was because that was during lockdown. I hadn't been able to swim. I swam a bit at my school. School were good with, got a pool, so I was able to swim a tiny bit there. But when the scheme was shut, there wasn't much time that I could train. And then I swam at the Glasgow meet. I think that was the selection meet in May, maybe. I can't really remember. But that was only off the back of about eight weeks training, maybe, after a big break. And I think I was training really well before COVID when I was younger. I remember that's when I stepped up a lot in training. We had the big break because of COVID. I came back. And I would have loved to have gone to European juniors, and I always had it in my mind. So then when I actually qualified, I didn't even get the time. I think I was like 0.05 off. And I always had it in my mind, like, you have to get the time. They will not take you unless you get the time. Okay. So even when I remember thinking, like, oh, I was so close. I still didn't think I'd qualify. And I remember my older sister saying, like, no, you know, they could still pick you. So that was like... Yeah. I was really, really happy about that selection. And then obviously to go to your second European juniors, you want more, as in I'd qualified for a semi in the first one, but I hadn't PB'd or anything. So
when it comes to this year, then I assume you're on a gap year. Are you effectively a full-time athlete, and then you doing work on the side as well for a bit of pocket money now and again?
Yeah, well, so yeah, I'd class myself as a full-time athlete. My mum always says, well, she said this year that I'm a lady of leisure, which, I mean, I'm really enjoying this year. Like, last year, I think everyone will be the same, but A-levels and swimming, it's quite intense. Like, it was a pretty intense year.
Yeah.
My hardest yet. So to go from that to having a pretty chilled year, obviously swimming's intense anyway, but yeah, from going from doing A-levels and working all the time, and like I said, with the travel, my school was far away, so it was just constantly, you know, get in the car, go to swimming, go back, do work, and then repeat.
That can't have been easy.
No, it was pretty hard, but I think, you know, you just get on with it. It's only now where I'm like, I can see how much time I've got now. I think, how did I do it? Like, how do you even go to school after morning training and even function or do work? Like, I mean, I'd have the occasional nap in my free periods, which is bad, but it got me through the day. I'm pretty good at power napping, so every time I get in the car, I'd have a 20-minute power nap, and yeah, that gets you through the day. But now, I do think, and I was speaking to Richard about this, I was injured last year. I had a back injury just before European Juniors, and I think it was literally caused by how much I was sitting down with revision and A-levels, as there was like 2 months of me just sitting down, doing revision, and like I said, getting in the car. I never got to swimming in time for pre-pool, so it would just be straight in the pool, get out, do gym. So I think it caused my back to just go into spasm, and that was quite tough. But now, just because, you know, I can sleep does a lot. I have a nap when I come back from training in the morning, because Leeds is early starts. You know, you have to wake up at 4 a.m. to get in the pool for 5. Yeah, I know. So I think sleep's a good thing. You know, I'm getting so much more sleep now, and then I can be at training half an hour earlier, so I can do my pre-pool. All of those little things, like I do think, really helps.
I can see in Scott's face he's so jealous because he's got a little one who's just been put to bed, and he is so sleep deprived. It's hilarious.
I know. Richard's just
actually got a full night's sleep last night, Dan. So I'm good.
Did you actually?
I was going to say, like, the transition usually from junior to senior takes a little while. Like, it's really hard to make that step up, even when you've been a European junior, like, champion. But do you think taking the gap year and giving yourself that time, and probably more importantly, your body that recovery, do you think that's going to help you over the next season?
Yeah, I'd hope so. Like, it kind of just gives you a chance to breathe and reset. Like, I probably would have found it quite hard going from, you know, my A-level year, it was intense, going straight into uni. Like, there is no rush, and everyone keeps saying that. Like, there really is no rush. You can go to uni whenever. So taking this gap year, I think, has been really beneficial for me. And I was a bit skeptical at first, like, will I be bored, you know, just swimming? But I'm really not. I enjoy it. I go on a lot of... Me and my mum go out for lunch like twice a week. So, yeah, it's really nice.
Oh,
that's a nice life.
You're right. What was the thing you said?
Lady of Leisure.
Lady of Leisure. Oh, you're absolutely right. We alluded to it earlier about your experiences with the senior team, like you got selected for the European short course. What's it been like as a young swimmer around the British swimming squad right now?
Yeah, it was really good actually to go to European short course. I really enjoyed it because that was obviously I went to under 23s, but this European short course, I'd say, was my first, you know, official senior meet. And I'd say maybe I was a bit nervous going just because I don't know the senior athletes that well. But it really helped. My boyfriend Evan went with me, so that it was nice to, you know, have someone there that you know. And then I know Archie really well as well, so... You know, that I think that calmed me down a bit. It's just nice to know people. But then everyone, the whole team, you know, they're all really nice. Everyone just kind of gets on with it. So it's quite different to juniors, I'd say. Like, you are just given a lot more freedom. Like, the ball's just in your court. You do what you want. you don't need to okay everything by, you know, your designated coach. I had Ryan over there and he was really good. I really liked having him. He was really encouraging, and like before every race, he kind of calmed my nerves. But yeah, I really enjoyed the experience, and I'd say I learned quite a lot from it as well.
What's that like going to a coach that you've not actually had coach you for a big meet like that? Like, what's that experience like? How do they help with, it's not a transition as such, but how do they help that introduction between coach and swimmer? How does it work?
Well, yeah, because when I went to European Juniors, the three times that I went, Richard, my coach, was there with me. At under 23s, I didn't have him there. So that was probably my first meet where I didn't have Richard there with me. And obviously, it's great having Richard there because, again, I think people always say, like, when you go away, it's best to keep things as normal as possible to you, to what you're used to. So it's great having Richard there. But when I went to under 23s, I had Mike Taylor from Sheffield, and I know him really well just because we do, you know, Sheffield do counties with us, regional. So I know him really well, and he was really great. I had something wrong with my back over in Dublin. So he was really good with me and sorted it all. And just told me, you know, there's better things coming. Like, don't focus on this now. It could have happened at a different meet. But yeah, he was really good. And then Ryan in at European Short Course, I didn't know him too well. He came to European Juniors in Rome my first time round, so I think I'd spoken to him a bit then. But I think he was really good because obviously he had his group of swimmers, but he paid an individual interest into each one. Like, obviously he had his three swimmers that he actually coaches, but he still had an interest in me. So it was nice. He just coaches you like for the sessions before you race, and he'll take me for my race warm-ups, and that was basically it. But they're all really nice and they're all so approachable.
And I assume there's some sort of communication with your coach and, let's say, Ryan, because obviously I assume you have your own race warm-up, and so that would be relayed to him?
Yeah, exactly. So Ryan never like pushed anything on me. He knows that Richard, I'm in contact with Richard, and Richard gives me my sets on like the days that I'm not racing, or like you said, the race warm-ups. So it's still like I'm in contact with Richard, I'm doing what Richard's telling me to do, but then Ryan's just the coach there because obviously Richard wasn't in Romania. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting kind of relationship to understand, because there's gonna be swimmers who are going to the Olympics who are not part of the like selected. I know Ryan's actually not a national center coach, but they're usually it's the national center coaches that go. So usually there will be swimmers who are not at national centers getting this first-hand massive experience of the Olympics without their coach there. So it's an interesting dynamic to understand, and I'm kind of glad you've gone into it.
I suppose one question is, is your back now fully healed?
Yeah, so I had... So actually, the lead-up to my European Juniors last year wasn't great. I remember off the back of trials, we had a week off where we did a bit of swimming in that week off. But a week off after trials. And then I remember Richard always puts on our sheets how many weeks it is until our key meet. And it was, I think it was something like 9 weeks till European Juniors. So it wasn't long. And straight after champs, I had a shoulder injury. So I wasn't really swimming for 2 weeks. I was just kicking. So already, I can't help but think, you know, the countdown's on. I can't swim for 2 weeks. I've only got 7 weeks left to prepare for this meet. But then, you know, I got over it. The shoulder was fine. And then I had my back injury. I think it started 3 weeks before I went to European Juniors. And then I have a really good physio at Leeds, Lucy, and I have a good relationship with her, and she's great. So I was speaking to her a lot. And then it was fine after European Juniors. It played up, but for a different reason at Dublin. That wasn't the same reason as before Juniors. And then it was actually playing up a bit a week ago, for 2 weeks, but it seems to have eased, and I was able to train completely fine. But yeah, all good now.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's still constant rehabbing. So in terms like foam roller and stretching and all that, stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah. So obviously that all helps. And then I'll get soft tissue every week from Lucy. She was guiding me with what I do and don't do in the pool. Remember, I wasn't diving or doing much gym at all 2 weeks before European Juniors. I think it was only a week before which I actually decided to go. I didn't know if I'd be able to race, but yeah, no, it's completely sorted.
Okay.
Good.
And you still went at 2:12, 2 a.m.
I was happy with that. I remember, but it was tough racing out in Rome, in Serbia. Like it, I know racing's tough anyway, but I still remember my 200 free. And I remember my sister Kira even saying after like that was a good swim, but it looked, you know, it looks like hard swimming. And I was like, it was hard swimming because I hadn't had ideal prep, but I was still happy with how I swam. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk a little 2 a.m. then as we look towards April, as the Olympic trials are on the horizon. What's your thoughts heading in? Because women's IM in this country is strong. Like, it's really strong. So there's only two spaces at the most to be selected for GB. And you've got the likes of yourself, Abby Wood, Katie Shanahan, Freya Colbert. There's maybe a few others in there as well. Are you excited like that that's a race that you're going to have to swim really well for to make the team?
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, swimming is about racing. So it's just who can put in the best race on the day. Like, it's pretty brutal. You know, you have one race to perform, and if you don't, then, you know, that's it. But yeah, it is strong. Like, obviously, I was able to race Katie and Abby out in at Europeans, and I just missed out getting through to the semi because of the two nations.
Still came third, though, yeah.
Yeah, but like, that's just how it is. It happened to Katie on the 4 a.m. it is just pretty brutal, but that is just how swimming is. I'm really excited going into trials. I think everyone will be, you know, on their A game. Everyone will be really excited. Obviously everyone will be a bit like nervous, but I think it'll be a good meet. I've also never raced in London properly. I've swum in the before, but I've never properly raced, so it's always good to go to a new pool. It spices things up
a bit. Fast pool.
Yeah, I've heard so that should be good.
Does racing those girls add or remove the pressure from you, I suppose, because you're kind of going in as a underdog, let's say, compared to the likes of Abby in a 2 a.m. Does that add pressure or remove it?
I think I like being the underdog. I think I'm in a good position there. Obviously you have your own pressures, like, but I like the position that I'm going in. I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself. I kind of, you know, I want to keep calm as much as possible. And I just want to perform as best as I can. Like, I'm just going to put everything into it and hope that's enough. But we're just going to have to see.
What time do you think is going to take to make the team? Because the nomination standard looks like within reach for all of you, really.
Yeah. So the actual time, I can't remember. It's 2:10 something, isn't it? But
it's.
I can't remember.
Like, that's okay for most of you.
Yeah, but obviously Abby and Katie went 2:09 last 2:09 low last year to qualify for World. So it'll be somewhere around there. Probably even a bit faster. So I think it's not really the Olympic consideration time, which is the problem. It's, you know, coming top two.
Top two. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be the tough thing.
Which is the fun part of trials, I guess.
I know. Because that's proper racing then, because you can't see the clock. You know, it's not racing against a clock. It's actually racing against the swimmers next to you. So
Yeah.
Are there any other events that you're targeting outside of the 2 a.m? Because you're a fair breaststroker.
Yeah, so I'm doing... I'll be racing the 100 breast at Champs. That's on the Sunday, so that's the day after the 200 IM. The thing with 100 breast, like, it's always been quite a fun event for me because, obviously, with your main event, you feel more pressure than your other events. So, like last year... The 100 breast, I go into it and I'm not nervous at all. I just think I'm just going to race. I'm just going to give it my best. So much so, like, I think 100 breast is a tough one. And like the last 25, I just can't feel anything. You know, I'm just moving my arms and legs about, and it's just get to the wall as quickly as possible. But I really like the event. So yeah, I'll be doing that. That's quite, I'll have to drop two and a bit seconds. So obviously that's quite a big jump for 100, but you never know. I dropped 2 seconds last year in my 100 breaths. So it'll, maybe the pressure's on a tiny bit more because I've actually got better at 100 breaths. So it's not so much a event that, oh, I'll just race, you know, it is one of my best events now. So yeah, probably the pressure's on a bit more. But I'll also be swimming the 203 and 200 breast. And I like swimming them.
Okay. Busy. Have you put any pressure on yourself at this point to make the Olympics? Like, you're still very early on in your career, yet there does seem like a realistic chance. So is it something you thought about?
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely thought about it. I wouldn't say I'm putting pressure on myself to make the team. Like you said, I'm an underdog, so I feel like that's a good position to be in. And I'm only 18, so I think it's just I'm more excited, like, more than anything. Like, it would be great if I made that team. I would be so happy, and it would be so exciting. And, you know, it just shows, like, all your hard work pays off, so it would be great. But I wouldn't say I'm putting pressure on myself to make the team. I just want to, you know, do a good race.
It's always nice to PB, isn't it? So,
yeah,
exactly. I'd love to PB.
Cool. So, before we end this podcast, we usually finish with some quick fire questions for our guests so that everyone can get to know you a little bit better. You've listened to the podcast, so you might know that they're coming. So, what is your favorite event in swimming?
200 IM, probably.
Who is your swimming idol?
Ooh. Probably Siobhan Marie O'Connor.
Oh, I like that. Underrated, one of the best British swims of all time, that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's a great swimmer, and I think she's been through a lot. So, she's the best 200 IM swimmer Britain ever had. So, yeah, she's a good one to look up to.
Absolutely. What's your proudest moment in swimming so far?
Probably my 2 European junior gold medals, and then breaking the championship record last summer as well.
Nice. What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Oh, there's quite a few. I thought this question would be asked, and I was trying to think. I think it varies. Like, I'm finding swimming quite hard. Last cycle, we do sets, which is like 32 100s, where it's like 2 fast, 1 easy. And, you know, you get to the last few and you're really feeling it. So sets like that, I find pretty tough.
And if you were to go on a road trip, there's 3 spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrity, anyone you want. Who would you take with you?
I would take my boyfriend, Evan. And then I'd take... It's hard because I've got 2 sisters. So...
So it's either one of... It's either both or none.
I know. I think I wouldn't take... I wouldn't pick. I'd take my best friend from school, Olivia, and then, I don't know. Can you take a pet? I'll probably take my dog, Basil.
Yeah, we've had loads of pets.
We've had loads of dogs in the car before, yeah.
I take my dog.
Nice, nice. Well, Leah, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Best of luck with the rest of your preparations heading into British Championships in April. And looking forward to seeing you race in what is probably our favorite women's event of the week, actually. We're really looking forward to that competition.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on. I think that the insight that you gave, especially from a new coach when you go to a new senior competition, I think that's a real insight, and we're going to reflect on that later on. So yeah, thank you very much for that, Leah, and good luck for the rest of the season, trials especially.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan, we kicked off this podcast by saying an event we have circled with massive interest is the 2IM. After speaking to Leah, I've circled it again, like a little bit more. I've added a little bit more to my preview going into British Champs, just because I feel like all of these girls can go that nomination time, which we didn't say in the podcast, is a 2:10.6. That is well within a reach of all of them. Abby, Katie, Freya, herself. It is going to be one of the best races of the week. And I'm really glad she's talked through her build-up, that she's stayed somewhere that is comfortable for her, and she's getting the results still.
Well, I think she said that you go to these meets, you want someone there that you know and you're comfortable with. So she was talking about Evan, for example, and other swimmers like her sister and Archie as well. So swimmers that she knows, and it makes her feel comfortable. I think that would be the case for everyone, of course, and a coach, of course. Yeah. So I think that's kind of key. But one of the things that I said I was going to bring up at the end on the reflection, that when you go to these meets, obviously, most of the time, unless you're at a national centre, your coach doesn't actually usually go with you. Mm. So, of course, she had Ryan helping her at a European short course, who I assume she hasn't really spoken to before. And yet there's got to be communication with herself, Ryan, her coach. And so it's quite an interesting dynamic, like you were saying. And so it's quite interesting learning that, I suppose, and actually getting it out there, because I don't know if swimmers would expect it. It's a little bit unexpected, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a really good insight heading into an Olympic year, because actually if you think beyond trials, we're actually looking towards the Olympics now. Hmm. Someone like Leah, if she makes the team, I would be surprised if her coach goes, because you usually take a coach who coaches a majority of the swimmers, so that is that familiarity. But it's really good to understand what happens for the bolters, like the one, that's not even the right word, the ones who aren't at the national centre. So again, it happens a lot for Ollie Morgan at these meets, because he's at University of Birmingham. It may happen to Leah. I'm not saying it is happening to Ollie, by the way. He's not made the team yet, but he has had that experience over the recent years. It's an underrated experience of a senior meet, I feel.
Well, it's not something that you think about, because you just want to think about the race. But if I asked her the question, like, you still have your race warm-up, because every athlete will have a different warm-up of whatever works best for them. And so, yeah, you never really think about that. And so that's probably something that should be spoken about more with these age group swimmers, as something they should get used to knowing, you know? Yeah.
So for all those kids who might have listened to this far in the podcast, or even their parents, when your coach is telling you to learn your warm-up for a competition, it isn't always just because you need to know what you're doing. It's, you may be in the situation in your career when your coach isn't there, you need to take like responsibility.
So,
it is giving responsibility to these athletes, and that's why learning your own warm-up, actually practicing it in training for race day, is a really, really key skill. Like sometimes you, like when I was 13, 14, I didn't think about that. Like, I'll be honest, I had no idea. I just got in the pool and swam up and down.
Yeah.
And just did as I was told as a coach. But it's taking self-ownership, isn't it? And this is why it's important when you get into situations like Leah was in last summer or last winter for European short course.
I suppose this is part of the transition between age group and senior. Yep. And that's why it's such a big jump, because in effect, everything is given to you as an age group swimmer. And then when you go to the senior ranks, you then have free reign. Like, she went on to the European short course, and you do everything yourself. Everything is on you. And so that's where the big changes really are, really.
Absolutely. Dan, I'm going to finish this podcast by asking you a question very early away from trials.
Oh, boy.
Which of those four girls are you picking for the 2 a.m.?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, pass, and you better listen to the preview podcast.
Okay. So the podcast before trials, you'll name the two girls out of that lot that you think.
I'll give you my prediction then.
Right, okay. I'm going to hold you to that. Okay, so that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We are going to be back next week again with a guest as we start heading towards British champs. They will be one of the contenders in an event, and we can't wait for you guys to listen. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and me and Dan will catch you all in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.